Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Coach Kelly.
Wow, what a great show we're going to have today.
I know. I'm so excited.
I know. I want to dive right in, but I always like to give, always like to give some special attention to our previous guest from last week, which was also awesome.
I love him. He's the nicest man. So last week we had the pregnant man, Thomas Beattie. He's just such an inspiration to everybody. And we'll just, we'll give a little recap. He is the, I guess, the first American female to male transgender to give birth.
Yeah. Awesome guy. Oh my gosh. Such a story of courage and humility and learning about the judgments of the world and all the things that he had to overcome, you know, as from being a child. And just so if anybody missed that show, please go tune in.
Yes, it was fantastic.
It was really fantastic.
And I liked how he really was so open about everything, about his experience, about, you know, what his struggles are today. I really admired that. Like, I just felt like he was just, you know, so honest and transparent, and it was just beautiful.
I was so proud of myself that I was the first person after all of these shows that he's been on to ask him that question.
Oh my God.
If his penis size changed between pregnancy.
It was such an, I wouldn't have thought to ask that question. Like, I would have probably been more generic, like, oh, you know, what size is it? That kind of thing. But like, you were bold. I loved it. It was great.
It was really funny. It was great. So Kelly, Coach Kelly, how are you?
So I'm doing okay. The sleep is an issue. My kids, I don't know. I feel like they're just like, I always say this, like, I feel like I should like open up a casino. We're up at all hours. Like, I don't know. These kids don't want to sleep. And my younger one, like, he literally one night he came to my room. I think it was like 2:30, and he comes in and he goes, hi. Like, it was like normal. It was like normal to like be up at 2:30 and just to like, you know, say hello. I'm like, are you joking? So the sleeping's a little bit rough, but other than that, I'm okay.
Will he curl up in your bed with you and go to sleep if you kind of just all stay quiet and calm? Or
not really? I'm always amazed with those kids. Like, who are they? Because they're not mine. Like, I don't, like, he'd be like rolling around. Like, you know, it's hard. I think,
So do you put him back to bed in that sort of situation?
Yeah, we try. And it's sort of like, I'm in like a catch 22 because it's like if we let him kind of cry it out, so to speak, he'll wake up Remy. So it's like, just tough, my older one. So it's like, what do? You know, it's like you want to be tough, but then you kind of can't. So I don't know. I might have to hire a sleep consultant.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of weird to be back. It's been a couple weeks now, having been back from Alaska, but recovering, and I'm not sick anymore, which awesome. It's funny, we had a rock on party in our cul-de-sac. All the people who had done the Be Water Wise changing of their backyards and their front yards.
Smart.
So this couple that lives on the cul-de-sac organized it, and my neighbor who was there was really sick with a cold, and this was only a couple days after I had been recovering, and she goes, I don't think I'm all that sick, and then the next day she was so sick with the, you know, the snot flow, the ever flow of snot and all that, and like, so it's a little bit
skeptical. You're like, don't come
all
here,
week mate. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to get that, and I didn't, so I'm really glad. So maybe my immune system is back.
Good. Thank God.
So we need to do a hallelujah here. It's raining.
I know.
Yay,
I know.
California.
I got my rain boots on. Yes.
Oh my gosh. You look so cute.
I'm like all about it. I'm like, oh, what is this salty substance again in the air? Like, I'll take it.
And so. I think we have a happy new year to say to all the Jewish folk out there who might be listening, and happy new year to you.
You as well.
And happy new year to half of me.
Yes, exactly. It's really funny.
I'm not sure which half it is. It depends on the day, I guess. So,
cool.
Should we just go?
Yes,
right,
I was just gonna, well, let's give out our number also.
Absolutely.
So it's 323-203-0815. You're listening to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. And we have a new website. If you have any questions, give us a call, or you can also email us.
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful. We love your emails. We don't always get to all of them, but eventually we try to slip them in depending on our guests.
So cool. So I am so excited.
I know. These are friends of Kelly's.
Yes,
so.
They are friends
so
of mine.
So I'm going to, you do the announcing.
Okay, so I will do the announcing. First of all, so I'm just going to say on a personal level, these two girls may be the nicest girls I've ever met in my life. And I swear to God, I'm so serious. They are so sweet and kind and lovely. Tammy and Lisi Lakotis are the nutrition twins, and they're nationally recognized registered dietitian, nutritionists, and personal trainers. They have over 15 years of experience helping thousands of clients boost their energy naturally, get healthier, happier, and reach tip-top shape. And it is true, if you've ever seen these two, they are blonde bombshells, gorgeous. So through their books, media appearances.
I concur, yes.
Yes, exactly. Deborah saw the picture too. Through their books, media appearances, nutritional counseling, lectures, and blogs, they build an innovative and inspiring brand that empowers people to take charge of their health and create changes that last a good, long lifetime. They've been featured on Good Morning America Health, the Discovery Channel, Fox News Channel, NBC, Bravo, WABC TV, WPIX TV, CBS, The Tyra Banks Show, and The Doctors. And they have their latest book, The Veggie Cure, The Great Things Veggies Do For You and Easy Ways to Get More. And we love this book. Deborah
yeah. Oh, my God. It's gorgeous.
Yes.
The book is just gorgeous. Okay. Yeah. Bring them on.
Okay.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. We are so thrilled to be here. And Kelly, you are seriously the sweetest. So to get that from you was like such an honor. Thank you so much for that introduction.
And listening to you too, Deborah and Kelly, you two are so entertaining and so much fun to listen to. We're having a blast just listening.
You guys are so much fun. Yeah,
so
this is last 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Like, we can't wait to be on with you guys. So thank you.
Yay! So we're just one big happy family.
I know, it's so cute.
You know, before we dive into nutrition, which is a big topic, I'm just dying to know, are you two ladies identical twins?
We are identical twins, but we actually think much more alike than we look alike. If you see us in person, you probably, well, if you don't know there's two of us, you think there's only, and you see one of us on the street, you think it's the same person. But if you see us side by side, then you probably might wonder if we're identical or fraternal. Would you say that, Lisi?
For sure.
Oh, that's
yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, that's
why I think would say that. Once you know us, it's very easy to tell us apart.
Tell you apart. Yeah,
well, that's what I thought. I thought that you guys were always fraternal. That's what's so funny. I've never thought you were identical. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that interesting? I mean, you could tell you were sisters.
Yeah, we're identical. I actually have fraternal twins, which is a complete science experiment, because watching fraternal twins who have opposite personalities is just such a different interaction than having an identical twin.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
thinks the same way that you do.
So cool.
So what was the hardest part about growing up being identical, and what was the best part?
That's a great question. Yeah. I think the hardest part was probably people compare you. People compare you.
Oh, yes.
So it's like that one has a big nose, that one's fatter, that one's thinner. Like that's always hard because you just want in that way, you want to be your own. But the best part, we always laugh because people would always say to us something like, are you even so insulted when people call you the twins? And we would always look at each other and be like, what do you mean? We are the twins. Why would we be insulted about that? That's who we are.
Nice.
So, but we actually really enjoyed, I think, having someone always there. Like we knew every aspect of each other's lives, and we still do. So I think that's fun to have someone to bounce every idea off of.
That's
so
beautiful.
Sweet. Yeah, I love that.
So one more burning question, and then we'll go to the book. But did you guys ever do that thing that twins talk about where one of you showed up on a date who was supposed to be the other one?
Well, I will say years later, I did date someone that she dated, but we did switch a class in high school, and my teacher, I kept telling her I was a twin, and she didn't believe me. It was a typing teacher, and it was at the end of the semester, and I was watching through the doorway, and I sent Lisi in instead of me, and I see her, and the teacher was very strict, and she came over and she took a ruler and she slammed it down on the desk and she goes, Tammy, what's wrong with you today? Why are you so slow at typing? And I was like, and Lisi turned around horrified that the ruler had been slammed right next to her, and I started laughing from the doorway, and she saw me, this woman, and she thought, oh my word, you weren't lying to me.
Oh my gosh,
like,
that's
why would
hysterical.
I lie? That was the only time we ever switched classes, though.
That's so
yeah,
great.
and that story is also wrong from so many angles. The ruler, the lady saying, oh my word.
That is really funny.
But that was like our big twin story. Other than that, when you were asking about the dating, we used to trick just on the phone much more because our voices were very similar.
Yes, yeah. Yes, for
so
sure.
So we just toss up, like, I don't want to talk. No, you talk. And then we just throw the the phone at each other.
Yeah. That's hysterical. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, yes. So tell us about the Veggie Cure, expert advice and tantalizing recipes for health, energy, and beauty. We've got the Nutrition Twins on with us today. And ladies, do tell, what inspired you to write the book? And
yeah.
We just have tons of questions, and then we'll get more specific.
Okay, well, you know, we, as registered dietitians, we have been bombarded with research that has shown that no matter what your issue is, there's some kind of vegetable or produce that can help you, whether you want an improved mood, whether you're trying to lose weight, or you want your skin to look better, or your hair to look better. There's always a vegetable, and loads of research proving that if you eat this vegetable, it can help you in so many different ways. So we really felt compelled to kind of help people and make it easy for them, because a lot of people think the veggies are difficult to get, or they don't mm-hmm. think they taste good. So we really wanted to help people to make it easy for them.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's how I feel.
And the truth is, too, everyone knows that they need more vegetables. Like, we've all heard that we need more vegetables. But
yeah.
But the truth is that for whatever reason, no one is getting them. So we wanted to come up with a foolproof way to make sure whatever the reason was that people weren't, so whatever their case is, that we had a reason we would help them get around it. So if your reason that you can get vegetables is that you think they take too much time, or you think mm-hmm. they don't taste good, or if you think they're boring, we have a chapter for each of those and ways to show you that that's not the case.
That's so smart.
What's so wonderful about this book is it's compelling for the person who doesn't like vegetables.
Yes.
It's equally as compelling for someone like me who loves vegetables.
Yes, I totally agree. I'm literally, like, I'm not exaggerating right now. I'm starving, and I'm looking at these recipes, and my mouth is, like, drooling.
I know.
They look so good.
Aww.
They really do. But
Thank you.
I have a question about men, because my husband, like, he is such a meat man, and I'm wondering what you found as far as in this book, particularly what you feel like appeals to men the most, as far as, you know, some of the recipes or any tips you have around that, because that's my issue, because I love vegetables too, but he won't touch it with the 10-foot pole.
Yeah, you know, that's such a good question, because we always think about the kids before the men, but you're right, the men, I would say a good thing to really focus on, I think, for them is almost combining it into the meal, so it's covered with the other flavors, and then they can slowly learn to appreciate the flavors of the vegetables just by getting a little bit at a time.
That's smart.
Because that would, you would say, kind of like maybe within a lasagna or something like that, where you could have even maybe turkey instead of real beef or something, but to lighten it up, but you could also include the vegetables.
That's smart.
Right, and for sure that, and I also think the one that's like the great gateway vegetable into getting more vegetables in is the cauliflower mashed potatoes. Have you guys done that before?
Yes. And he will eat that. You're right on target. Exactly.
Yeah, and so that's such, for someone to suddenly not really be so into vegetables and then be eating cauliflower and actually liking it, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
I also think that there's a lot of meaty vegetables that you can sink your teeth into. Of course, potatoes, like a sweet potato or something like that. And if you make a potato salad or something like that as well. Also, portobello mushrooms are really meaty and you can really sink your teeth into them. And surprisingly, they're really high in protein, too.
That's great.
So if you get 100 calories of... Yeah, sorry to cut you off, Lisa, but I want to continue on what you're saying, but I just want to point out that about the mushrooms, the really cool thing is because of their meaty texture and actually a kind of somewhat meaty flavor that also takes on whatever you're cooking it in, what you can start to do slowly is try to, with your meat dishes, swap, say, a half meat with half mushrooms, and slowly they'll adjust with flavors, and they'll really like it. And they might not even notice the difference at first when you share with them when you try the mushrooms chopped up lightly mixed in with the meat.
That's so smart. I love that idea. These are fantastic. Yeah.
You know, one of my most favorite vegetables I was telling Coach Kelly about is beets. Beets,
yes.
You can roast them like potatoes with a little olive oil, and they taste amazing.
Sounds so amazing.
That sounds so good.
Yeah,
and you know, people don't realize that too. A lot of people are afraid of beets, and then once they try it, like the way you're mentioning it, they love them.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah, so mix them with half potatoes, half beets, and don't tell anybody which
exactly.
one's
yeah, exactly which one's
right.
the beets.
And, yeah. And the other cool thing about beets is they are one of the few vegetables that play a role in both of the liver's detoxification systems. The liver has two phases of the detoxification, and beets are one of the few foods that really play a part in both. So making the toxins
kind of breaking them up is the first phase and making them unstable. And the second phase is neutralizing them and getting them out of the body. And beats play a role in both of those. So if you had a late night out with partying or you were exposed to cigarette smoke, that beets are then
pollution.
Then, roast your beets.
That is so smart.
Wonderful.
So you gave some awesome tips for men. What about kids? Is it the same premise or different?
You know, the interesting thing with kids, first of all, I should say, is that they will love, they want to do what you're doing. So if you can show them, you know, that you like vegetables, then they will like them. And what I've done a lot, and just because I simply do love vegetables, I see all the time with my kids, I might put it on their plate, but and they'll eat it. They're really good about it. But once they see me eating it, they come over and they want to eat straight from my plate, no matter what it is. And I remember I had a very proud moment as a mom because I'm always eating my red bell peppers. I love them and I live for them. And then one of my daughters, when she was 3 years old, came over. I had it in a glass Tupperware, and she came over to drink the pepper juice out of my... And they started, her twin sister started fighting. They started fighting over my wrapped pepper juice, and I said, this is the proudest nutritionist mom I could ever be.
That is so cute.
But
oh my God.
It really is. It comes out, you know, they were eating from what I was eating. So I think mirroring, you know, they want to do what you're doing. So I think if you do it,
They'll do it.
The other really good, there's so many great tips for kids, but one thing, every night, if you're someone who, as most parents are, it's hard to get your kids to eat vegetables, my kids come home, they have a snack, and then by the time dinner rolls around, they're getting really hungry. And I think, you know, a lot of times the parents give everything at once. I, because I'm trying to so big into the vegetables, I serve the vegetables first. And those kids gobble up the vegetables without fail every time.
That's
they
a
might
great
eat
idea.
Maybe
that
one
is
or
really
two
good
times.
Idea.
That's but when they're hungry, and if they get into a habit of that, it can be really good. The other thing, and you've all heard this before, but it is so helpful, is just, you know, that plate that I give them with their vegetables on it, I make faces out of it, whether it's, you know, the tomato eyes, the broccoli hair, and they love it. They say, always give it to me like that, and they love eating. They love playing with it, and we encourage them. You know, if you're going to eat the vegetable, sure, play with it, and you can make that veggie crudité into smiley faces or whatever else
That's
you want.
So smart! I love that idea. Yeah,
you know, I'm dying to know too your opinion. There's so much out there about organic foods versus non-organic foods, and you know, people will say that they're too expensive and yada yada. What have you come to the conclusion about organic versus non-organic? Are there certain vegetables I've read that it's more important to have organic than others?
That's a great question.
Do tell.
And yes, we definitely, you know, of course, if we all could go afford to go and could get organic all the time, sure, that's great. But you really don't, there's a list called the Dirty Dozen, meaning of all of the fruits and vegetables, there's 12 of them that they put on the bottom of the list, meaning they're the most heavily sprayed and contain the most toxins. So if you eat a lot of those fruits or vegetables, then it would be good for you to buy those, especially for kids, organic, because their kids' cells are developing and dividing twice as rapidly as ours are. So they're more at risk for creating mutations within those cells. So the bottom of the list, meaning the Dirty Dozen, are fruits like apples, romaine lettuce. This year, I think it was this year or last year, celery was pretty close to the bottom of that list, meaning it was pretty heavily sprayed. Berries typically are very heavily sprayed. Peaches have gone on and off of the list of the most heavily sprayed as well. But definitely always think about the raspberries, the blueberries, strawberries. If you eat a lot of those or if you're giving them to your kids, that is definitely one that I do recommend to go organic with. As well as I mentioned, the lettuce, the spinach.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and there's one other thing I just want to say, though. As much as we are, we try to say eat those foods organically, if you eat them, if those are foods you eat once in a while, it's not going to matter so much. It's more of those are the foods, like, for instance, apples fall on that list. I have an apple every day, so I'm definitely going to make sure I have that organic. But if I rarely eat peaches, and peaches are on that list, and if I get it once in a while, I'll go for it. And the truth is that if you look at all the studies, the National Cancer Institute can choose anything as its slogan, and it chooses, say, it says, have five servings of produce a day to lower your risk of cancer. And they're not looking at organic produce. They're looking at produce across the board. So if you're someone that just can't afford organic produce, know that no matter what, any time that you eat produce, you're doing your body good, whether or not it's organic.
Sure.
So, so that's a really good point, too, is that you definitely do want to have
you'd rather have any vegetable, whether or fruit, whether it's organic or not. It's better to have some than worry about it being organic if you are that person who really your budget doesn't allow for it.
That makes sense.
But right, just but also that wanted to point out. Yeah, the good ones. The good
that
ones that
said,
are.
Don't worry,
it happens a lot.
We'll see.
She's trying to say the same thing as me. Go ahead, Tammy.
I was going to say the ones that are the least heavily sprayed are ones like onions, pineapple, avocado, broccoli. Okay. I'm a huge broccoli fan. I eat broccoli nonstop. So those are ones that you don't really have to worry so much about. And then, you know, luckily the ones that you take the peel off of, you don't have to worry so much about either.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Lisey?
I was going to say, that being said, I wasn't going to say the same thing as you, actually. I was going to say, nowadays, a lot of the GMO is becoming much more of an issue, the genetically modified foods.
Yes.
And for soybeans, almost all of the soy and the corn in our country are genetically modified, and that means that they are the way that they're genetically modified is that they're able to withstand some of the pesticides much more. So they're sprayed much more highly. Mm. So if you're going for soy, even though that's not necessarily on the list, I would say make sure you go for non-GMO soy as much as you can.
Sure.
And corn.
Yeah. Where the heck can you find non-GMO corn? I swear I've never seen it anywhere. Where can you get it?
It's really hard if you have to go for organic, because by default, organic means that it can't be GMO.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Packaging and labeling
is so confusing.
Yeah, I now buy
it really is.
For my eggs. You know, just buying organic eggs does not mean that they were certified humane.
Yes.
So I buy certified humane organic eggs.
Yes.
It's crazy. And I only have the whites, not the yolks.
So. Oh, my God. So you go through all that.
Wait,
this is important. I do want to bring this up to these girls. I noticed that Dr. Deborah does not eat the yolks, and I feel like she's missing some healthy fats and good stuff for the brain. What do you girls think?
You're right, by the way, but I can't stand the taste of them.
Oh, is that what it is?
I would rather vomit eat my own vomit than eat an egg yolk.
Really?
That's
how bad it is. So that makes sense.
The smell, I just can't
stand. But you don't mind the yolk.
Them.
I mean, the
white.
Whites.
I love the whites.
Oh,
and
I'll
eat like 4 egg whites in the morning.
I see. That's different. Okay.
Yeah, I love them. But and you can throw lots of veggies in egg
whites.
Yes,
that is true. I like a frittata and all that stuff.
So, yes, I am well aware that I'm missing out on those nutrients, but I tried to get them in other ways.
Jewish mom Kelly trying to lecture
Coach Kelly. Yeah.
So I have a question about someone like me, and I'm going to be totally frank, and everybody who knows me knows.
Wait, are we going with the bowels again?
Not with the vowels. I am just a really horrible cook. I try. I guess I don't love it. Is there some quick sort of way to get the veggies in where it's not so intense with the cooking? Any recommendations, you know, for people like me?
Well, we'll tell you something that's very interesting about, first of all, frozen vegetables. Now, frozen vegetables, a lot of people think you lose the nutrients, but in fact, many times they're much more full of nutrients than the fresh ones, because frozen vegetables, when they're picked, they're frozen right there with the nutrients intact. And when we get, especially we live in New York City and other cities, you know, we're not right next to the farm. So when they pick the produce and then they ship it to the grocery store and then it sits in the back of the grocery store, you know, it's out and exposed to air and light for a while. So many times the frozen vegetables are just as nutritious, if not more. And one of the great secrets we learned from some of the professional chefs that we were interviewing when we were writing our book was that they take sometimes the frozen vegetables, they let them thaw. This is one of the greatest suggestions we got, and we do this all the time now. They overnight, or as they go to work during the day, they take the frozen vegetables, they put it out in their refrigerator and just let it thaw.
Okay.
And then they either just heat it for a few seconds and add their favorite dressings, or they take it out and make a cold salad with it. But it's already the cooked veg. It's like it's already been the blanched, so it's like cooked and ready to go.
That's great.
You can heat it for a second, but that makes eating a vegetable, cooking very quick. And then you can just add a little bit of wine vinegar or a little bit of lemon, a little bit of olive oil, and it's pretty much ready to go.
That's great. I love that suggestion. I think that's so smart.
And salads. You know, you can get a lot of pre-made salads, lots of salad bars.
It's true. Whole Foods does make it easy, with the cut up fruit, the vegetables and things like that.
Ralph's also now has an organic salad bar.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. Now, Ralph's is not
I don't
national,
think it's East
though.
Coast.
It's not everywhere.
It's out here, but
pretty, pretty awesome. Hey, speaking of the freshness of vegetables, what's your take on juicing? I know some people say that you have to, if you do some juicing, you've got to drink it right away because it oxidizes or something like that after a short time.
Well, the interesting thing with fruits and vegetables is fruits and vegetables lose their nutrients when they're exposed to light, heat, and then also air. So when you when you're juicing something, it's increasing the surface area just by blending it all together. You're getting a bigger surface area. So that means it will go bad faster. It depends on the vegetable and, of course, you know, whether it's refrigerant, all these types of other things that, you know, what it might come in contact with. So in that case, yes, because you do want to keep it cool. So if it's not in the refrigerator, and also it will be exposed to more light and air that way, so vitamin C. So things will break down. It also depends, if you're buying it pre-made, it depends the way it's packaged, and usually they're pretty seal tight. But yeah, when you do it yourself, you probably do want to drink it pretty soon after. That's interesting. We've never really gotten that question.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I live with a bunch of fanatics. My my daughter doesn't live with me anymore, but she is not a fanatic. She's just amazing. She's got into health and wellness and all the stuff. She's studying at the School of Ayurvedics up in Grass Valley. So for her, everything is she studies every piece of food before she's willing to eat it or not eat it. Funny story about that is she became totally anti-microwave. So when she would stay at the house and she'd say, "Mom, could you please not use the microwave? Please, please, please." Wow. I'm like, okay, I can respect that. Like about a week after she left, both microwaves blew out.
No.
Oh,
it was
my
like
gosh.
She put a curse on it.
And since they did, you know, one's built into the wall and the other one was taking up way too much.
God.
So now I've stopped microwaving completely.
I haven't microwaved at all. I know it's not good and I have to use it with the kids. Like, I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, when they're hungry, like you don't have time. You don't have like a half hour to like whip something up, you know?
From
a nutrient standpoint, if it makes you feel any better about the microwave, Kelly, is because it is, when you're, say you're cooking something in microwave versus cooking on the stovetop, it is exposed to the heat for a shorter period of time in the microwave. So in that respect, it definitely contains, it retains more of the nutrient.
Oh, that's good to know.
Don't feel too bad about that.
Okay,
least.
Good. Oh, that's good. Oh, good. I can go home and feel good.
On the bright side, right?
Yes, and I'm not quite sure we know why she's so anti-microwave. Do you guys have any input on that in terms of, is there something about
the radiation, maybe?
The radiation, or is it really effective?
It might be the radiation. Like, we don't stand in front of it, but I've definitely done some research, and if you look at, like, a lot of the scientists and the chemists, they seem to think that there's nothing... it doesn't change your food in a negative way any more than cooking would, from what I can see. But I think it might be from the radiation.
I also found something, I don't know if you've heard of Snopes.com, but when I was looking into it before, it was one of the rumors on Snopes.com.
Oh, that's like a site.
I'm not entirely sure. You know, I always wanted to get to the bottom of it, because every now and then I'll read something on one of the blogs where a scientist weighs us in and says something about the microwave, and I kind of put it out of my mind when I saw it on Snopes.com, but then I'll hear, you know, something like what you've heard, and then like, maybe I should check back into that again. But I do remember it being a rumor at one point.
Oh, that's good. Okay, cool.
Hang on. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Debra and Coach Kelly, and we have our guests, the nutrition twins, Tammy and Lisi, who wrote the book, The Veggie Cure, Expert Advice and Tantalizing Recipes for Health, Energy, and Beauty. And let me say that this book is beautiful.
It really
is. It is so beautiful.
And so easy to use.
The organization, the tips. I love how, you know, you go into the nitty-gritty about nutrition and such in the first half, and then just a plethora of beautiful, wonderful, unique recipes in the back of the book. And they are mouthwatering, and I can't wait to go home tonight.
Yes, I'm totally, you know what, it's so funny. We're looking at this as we're talking to you, and I'm making banging broccoli I love the names, by the way. Bang and Broccoli East meets West style. I'm totally making that tonight because I think that'll be a big hit. Yeah. And you know what else I love too about this book? Under the recipes, it's so smart. You put like what it's good for, which I really, really love. Heart, you know, if you want to slim, your skin, stress, you know, everything like that. I think that's a really wonderful and you know, different idea. So we really like that.
Oh,
too.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So cute.
Like we said, we wanted people to be motivated. Whatever people were motivated to eat their vegetables, we wanted to make sure that we found that whatever it was. If you're motivated by your looks, if you're motivated by your health, are you mm-hmm. motivated by your energy levels, we wanted to make sure that you knew what you'd be getting when you got each recipe that we gave.
Yep.
And out there, if you have any questions for our guests, please give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Ladies, if you're interested, we have an email yeah. that would be really cool to get some of your input on. Are you ready?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
I've got
100%. Yeah.
I've got one here that will have a specific question for the two of you, and then the other part of it is a question for you and me, Kelly. Okay, so here
cool.
we go. Dear hosts and guests, my husband and I have totally different eating habits. I like to eat dinner earlier in the evening, no later than 6 p.m. He's happy to eat at 9-ish. Granted, we both have different sleeping patterns as well. I like to be in bed by 10 and asleep soon after, whereas he prefers to stay up till around midnight. Our work schedules allow for some flexibility, so we're not really forced into any particular schedule. We're both reasonably fit and healthy, but he also eats a fair amount of French fries, cheese, and potato chips. To the nutrition twins, we're both in our 50s. Should I be worried about him? And to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, I think eating together is an important couples activity, but neither one of us really want to change our routines. I sometimes feel resentful, but it doesn't bother him. Any suggestions?
Wow.
Oh, what a great question.
So let's start with the nutrition twins. What do you guys think? Should she be worried about her partner, her husband?
First of all, I love this question too, and I love her question for you guys too.
Yeah.
Is she saying, should she, maybe I'm misunderstanding, or maybe you guys will know, is she saying, should she worry about him because he's eating later at night?
And I think that he's unhealthy. I think she's saying in general because he has his fair share of French fries, cheese, potato chips.
Right. Okay. Well, so in that kind of question, first of all, if she was asking about later at night, you know, he still has more digestion time than she does. So if he ate dinner at 6 o'clock at night, by midnight he'd probably be hungry and going for a second meal, and she would need to worry more. You know, serving of food. But regarding the having chips and fries occasionally, all of those foods can definitely fit in a healthy. In a healthy lifestyle, if he's eating mostly healthy foods, you know, there's a little bit of room here and there for some indulgences. It depends. The question would be, does he have high cholesterol? Are these indulgences mainly what he's eating, not mm-hmm. just sometimes? And does he have other health issues that would be getting complicated by having these? But the way that we see it and the way that we like our clients to live, because life is short, is we really want our clients to eat really well 90% of the time. But every day, mm-hmm. if they do this, they have room for a small indulgence. So,
I like
that. Keeps them on track, and it keeps them from binging when they actually get around foods that they really like.
Yes.
And it makes them feel like they're living and enjoying life and that they're not just following some strict diet plan, that they're eating foods that they like and they're also getting some indulgences. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yes, for sure. I think that was very helpful to the emailer. And then for us, Kelly, in terms of the resentment and all that, you know that? I think that eating together is just a really sensuous experience.
Totally.
And that I would be really sad if I had a partner who didn't want to eat with me or didn't care about the food process.
Sure. Well, to me, it sounds like it's so obvious. Like, you compromise. If she eats at 7, he eats at 10, I think you meet in the middle, because that way you both are kind of giving in. I mean, you know what I mean? And then you can eat together.
Yeah, like twice a week, eat at 7:30.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that would be a better way. And then at least you're having two dinners, you know.
I wonder also if she presented it to him in a way that said how valuable it is for her sense of connectedness in the relationship to share food together.
Sure.
That maybe he would be more interested in coming a little bit more in her direction. And sure. if he could really maybe describe for her also mm-hmm. why it is that he prefers, maybe just as Tammy and Lisi are saying, that, yeah. you know, maybe he doesn't want to end up eating late at night right before going to bed. So that's right. his own compromise for himself. So sure. it sounds like there's definitely room for flexibility in their relationship well, if they're both willing.
Yeah. And also, I think just sometimes even sitting with him if he's eating later is okay, too. She doesn't necessarily need to be eating, but just sitting and spending time together to me would be,
you
good
know, point. Maybe she could even yeah. save one portion of her meal,
for that time. Exactly. Yeah,
that would be, and maybe he could have a small snack with her when
with
she's
with her
eating.
Time. Exactly. Yeah. I think this is doable.
Okay. That or they could just go off to Europe and sit in a cafe, which usually takes about 3 hours.
So anyway.
If you start at 6, she's eating, they still sit there, and he gets his meal at 8:30, and we're good to go. Tammy and Lisi, can we move away from the book just for a moment, even though we will definitely
sure.
promote it some more? But I have some just
sure.
regular nutrition, dieting kind of questions.
Sure.
Because you mentioned, you know, about balance and not, it sounds like you guys sort of adhere to the same model Kelly and I do about sort mm-hmm. of intuitive eating and not having these restricted lists, like you can't have that,
right.
you only can have this. And I really like that. But as you know, out in society, there's so much literature out there that say carbs are bad, gluten's bad, protein's better. Like, give us some idea about the balance now, the current thinking about mm-hmm. the proper amount of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins in one's general intake.
Great. Well, you know, that's such a great question.
Go ahead, Lisi.
Oh, no, go ahead, Tammy.
Okay. I was going to say that it's really an interesting question because that seems to be changing all of the time.
Yes.
And what we did recommend 10 years ago, we definitely recommended a slightly more carb-heavy meals 10 years ago, but it was not refined grains, it wasn't processed grains. Now what we really try to get our clients to focus on, and it seems like all of the research is going this way too, is what we call high quality, high fiber carbohydrates with lean protein. So, and then the fat plays a role too. So before, about 10 years ago, people would have said 55 to 60% carbohydrates, and now it seems slightly less, maybe more mm-hmm. like 50% carbohydrates. But the real key is moving away from the process.
Yes.
As before, it was just getting carbohydrates in, and now it's really just the whole grain, the fiber. That's what you want to focus on, things
yep.
that are going to give you that extended energy rather than the crash followed by the high, and then will also provide your body with nutrients. And then the other key that we really always have our clients focus on, and it's also been really, we've been hammered with this kind of research, is the combination of the high fiber carbohydrate, like the fruits, the vegetables, the whole grains, combined with the lean protein to really extend satiety mm-hmm. and really that feeling of satisfaction. And then as well, really extending that energy boost, because it will gradually slow the digestion so it doesn't cause that energy high followed by the crash.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the research is like...
Oh, no,
go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's not complicated.
Our message has always been the same as nutrition professionals.
Mm-hmm.
As Tammy said, it's just shifted probably a little bit of the percentage, but we always have been known, you know, we've always been educated that you want it to be the whole grain with a combination of the protein. And what we found for weight loss is that when you combine these two, it is essential. If someone is just eating a whole grain, like let's say someone, or that healthy high fiber carbohydrate, if you're just eating vegetables or just eating whole wheat pasta, or you're going to be, as healthy as it might be, you're going to be hungry a few hours later.
Yeah.
And if you're just eating that healthy lean protein, let's say like yogurt or beans, beans are a bad example because they also give carbohydrate, but let's say chicken breast or just something that's just all protein,
yeah.
That makes you feel full and satisfied, but it doesn't give your brain the energy that you need. And so without brain fuel, you crave the quickest pick-me-up you can get. And ultimately,
right.
a lot of people wind up craving sugar, which is
yes.
the quickest picking up you can get. So combining the two is really the magic ingredient
that makes
for
sense.
Weight loss.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I have another question.
Yeah.
So I don't eat any fruits or vegetables generally in the morning, but I eat a ton of vegetables for lunch and dinner.
Uh-huh.
Should I switch that up some and add more vegetables of some sort to my breakfast, which I said is
yeah.
basically egg whites, and I take a small piece of this very condensed whole wheat bread, like
mm-hmm.
and I eat like 2/3 of a piece or something like that. Do you think I should be adding some sort of fruit or a tomato, or is it okay the way I kind of have it set up?
You're doing a great job. If you're getting lots of produce throughout the day and your breakfast is working for you, it's providing you with energy, you're not getting an energy crash, and your breakfast sounds very healthy, by the way. You know, normally if you were hungry or if you were someone who wasn't getting enough produce or antioxidants or nutrients during your day, I would certainly recommend getting it at breakfast. But that's not the case with you, so I think what you're doing is just fine.
That's great.
Yeah, you're getting plenty of nutrients later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess piling on a bunch of strawberry jam wouldn't actually do any good.
No. That's so funny.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. But oh God, you probably have room for it. That might be your indulgence, it sounds
That's
like.
That's true.
No, I'd rather have my piece of dark molasses chip seeds candy
around
9 o'clock at night.
I hear you.
I love dark chocolate. That is like my thing. I literally have to have a piece of dark chocolate every day. Like it's my, and I know that's not so bad for you either, but I just love it. I think it's fantastic. I get like 85% or above, and that's just like, that's like my high for the day. I love it.
Yeah, you are picky.
You guys
too.
Are healthy.
Yeah. I know. That's true. But it's so funny. I don't even like the taste of milk chocolate. It's not even like I'm trying to be good. Like it tastes too sweet and kind of artificial to me. So I need like the real, I'm like the chocolate snob, so.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no, Kelly, you've always been so healthy, though. You've always been healthy about yourself.
But I feel like since I've had kids, it's gone down a little bit, unfortunately. It's like, because they're not so into it. So it's like, all right, I'll do the mac and cheese. Then you start to, like, you know, take a couple bites. It's a little bit harder, you know. I feel like
it is
just
more
me,
of a challenge.
Right? You
sure.
know what I mean? Yeah, because it's, you got, you know, different taste buds going on.
But, you know, when you say that your kids aren't as interested, you know, you are doing the right thing. I can tell you that, you know, what my daughter, when she was younger and before she knew about it, because she didn't eat, we didn't go for junk food or anything like that. She was a really healthy eater. And it was when she got more exposed to school and other kids. And why can't I have that? She would start as a preteen and teenager. She'd come home. She goes, there's nothing to eat here. She'd open the cabinets, which are filled with all
food.
Kinds of healthy things, you know, from everything, from certain kinds of nuts, always fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Always, you know, great kinds of proteins to eat. You know, I always made sure I had that. But very few things like ding dong, Twinkies, things.
Exactly.
A little bit, you know, if we would go out, it certainly wasn't opposed to her having some stuff. But then slowly but surely, I mean, she came back around, and as a young adult, she says, I don't know why I kept thinking you were such a fanatic. I mean, you gave me some great seeds, and now I'm the one who's totally so far over the
That's
end
nice.
Of nutrition. And she thanked me. She like really appreciated my input over the years, even
That's
though
nice.
She wasn't able to say it. So I bet you're doing a really good thing with your kids, considering to put that in front of them, and they do take it in because they're learning from you.
It's true.
All the time.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, I wanted to ask you girls, how were you raised? Did food have a impact? And, you know, how were you raised? Healthy, not healthy, and that kind of thing.
100%. Our parents, we describe our parents as hippies minus the drugs. We were growing up, so their lifestyle, like our mom was always making her homemade granola, and we were always right outside her apron eating it. I don't want to say we were cooking it so much, but we were definitely always around it. She had a very plant-based diet, and our parents were very almost like holistic. We almost think like a bit ahead of their time, but I guess maybe that was just like the hippie generation in them still, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wholesome food, and, you know, we had a lot of lentil soups and bean burgers and whole wheat pasta with lentils on it instead of...
Oh, my God. That's great.
My mom would make her own pizza crust and with whole wheat, and my dad would sometimes complain. So then she made it half whole wheat. But the funny thing was, yes, we grew up that way, but because we grew up that way, I remember we'd go to our friends' houses, and we would go over, and we'd see everything in their cabinet. I remember one friend we'd go to, and every time we went over there, we'd try every sugar cereal we'd try every donut she'd have.
We'd come home every time
without fail. Five ho-ho. We'd come home with a stomachache every time, but every time we'd go back and do it all over again.
This is so funny.
It's like one of those things. But we grew up really playing soccer competitively, and we'd have these team breakfasts in the morning where everyone brought everything, and there was fruit there, but of course we never got the donuts at home, so we fell off of the donuts and all the sugar stuff, and then we go to our first class and we'd be like sweating, we'd be with that sugar high, and we always laugh about it because it took us such a long time. We did it over and over again, but then finally one time we're just like, oh, we felt so sick, I guess maybe it's the same thing with your daughter, Deborah, that maybe something happened where she just was like, all right, enough.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel good anymore when I do that.
Right.
So I think that's what happened to us. We grew up in a really healthy household, and we finally decided to go the way that my mom was telling us all along.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. That reminds me of a funny story. When I was in like fifth and sixth grade, so my mom, though, she was like the Gestapo of healthy food. Like,
oh,
we were
really?
Not allowed to have anything that
Are
wasn't
you serious?
Healthy. Nothing.
Wow.
It was, so it made me in that deprivation, indulgence mode. So I would go to school with these like amazingly fresh made, home cooked foods and stuff. My friends would be salivating. You mean you got fresh baked chicken for lunch and all this stuff? And they'd be going, like, I want that. And I'm like, you have a ding dong?
Right.
You have a brownie? You have an Oreo? And I would trade my entire lunch. I would divvy it up in little small pieces so I could get a sample of every single person's junk food out of their lunch box.
Well, that's so funny because it was the exact opposite with me. My mom was not really healthy and I hated like fruit roll-ups. It was like disgusting. And so I literally would trade my fruit roll-up for an apple.
Okay.
So like you
there
were the kid that would be like, yes, I got a fruit roll-up. And I'd be like, I got an apple. Like, how funny is that?
It's hysterical.
I love it.
Yeah. Really, but that's why I guess, you know, probably the best message for our listeners today is that, you know, really healthy nutrition and food is about balance. You know, it's about living life, eating well, eating healthfully, but also, you know, cranking up a little junk food now
every
and again.
Month. Like you said, the indulgences, it's so important. It really is.
Any parting words to our listeners?
Yes. Where can they find the book and your website and all that good stuff?
Oh, you're so nice. Well, our website is nutritiontwins.com. Our book is called The Nutrition Twins Veggie Cure, and it's available at most bookstores and online and all the major retailers. And we are so thrilled to have done this show with you guys. You guys are so much fun, Deborah and Kelly. So thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Is there any other one-liner for our listeners about, you know, how to get on track here if they're struggling with poor nutrition? Maybe a first step.
The first step is really just take it one step at a time. It can be really overwhelming for people. So if you can think of it as maybe starting with, you're that person who can start with breakfast, maybe start by changing to a whole grain instead of having a refined grain. Or if you're trying to increase your vegetables, as so many people are, start, take it one step at a time. Add lettuce and tomatoes to your sandwiches or add some broccoli into your pasta. And take it, you know, if you can map it out and start with a grocery list, just say, okay, I'm going to start with one meal a day. The next week, maybe it will be two meals a day where I'm going to add vegetables. And just kind of take it a little step at a time and don't think of it as a complete overhaul. That's a much more likely way that it can make it not only doable, but it makes it more like a lifestyle.
That sounds great.
And I would also say be very specific with your goal. A lot of times people say, well, I'm just going to get more vegetables, and that can be tricky. But if you sometimes say, I'm going to get more vegetables by adding, like Tammy said, the lettuce to my sandwich every day at lunch, or by adding spinach to my omelet, or by adding tomatoes to my soup or whatever it might be, just be very specific about it so that you have an action that you can actually do instead of a vague plan, because if you're very specific, you'll know exactly what you'll want to do. For instance, I have a client that I saw earlier, and she was, her biggest thing is sweets. She has a very hard time with sweets, and so it would be very hard for her if we just said, okay, you can't have any more sweets or no more sweets. But for her, she says, every time I have a sweet tooth craving, I'm going to go and I'm going to have a few frozen grapes. You know, so she has a plan for something
smart.
That's very specific in action that she can take when she finds herself in that situation.
That's very smart. I like that a lot.
That's awesome.
It's a good plan of action. Yeah.
Tammy and Lisi, thank you so much. The Nutrition Twins, please, everybody get a copy of their book.
It's fabulous.
The Nutrition Twins Veggie Cure. Yay.
Thank you
awesome.
So much, girls. We
thank
love you.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. It was so much fun.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
And congratulations. We love your show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. So, Kelly, next week we have on Dave Pelzer.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so excited about
this.
So
excited. So, do you remember the name of the book?
Yes. A Child Called It was his bestseller.
Uh-huh.
And then his new book is Too Close to Me, I believe, is the title.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's an amazing guy. So, yeah, this was, for those of you who don't know, he was emotionally, I think, and physically abused by his mother, and so it was a memoir, and just kind of, you know, how he rose above and just made a really, you know, great life for himself. I think it's just such an extraordinary story, and
it's
just seems like a great
touching.
Inspirational guy.
Yeah. Oh, we have got the greatest guest.
I know. It's so
exciting.
Cool, and I love our variety, you know. It's kind of, you know.
All right, Kelly, where can they find you?
So you can find me. I have a new therapist website. It's therapistkellymiller.com, and that's Kelly with an I. And you could also find my acting and hosting website at Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R.com. And you can find my book, Professor Kelly's Guide to Finding a Husband, on Amazon. And how about you?
DrDebraOnline.com, DrDebraOnline.com. And I have 4 books and some CDs and lots of goodies. It's a pretty interactive website. So please visit, and thanks so much.
Thank you
for
so
listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.